As always, on Mondays during the legislative session, IPR State House correspondent Joyce Russell is with me now to talk about the week ahead in the Iowa legislature. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Sarah.
So late last week, we got a few more details about what the federal sequester will mean for Iowa. What's on the chopping block?
Well, as far as state government goes, the Branstad's administration's estimate is that we'll lose about $46 million. That would come in the form of layoffs or furloughs. And we're talking about agencies that get federal money. So, for example, health care is exempt, but education is not. And federal funds, for example, are used for programs like intensive reading for slow starters and other programs for the schools. But in the meantime, Governor Branstad's department heads are working out exactly how to absorb these cuts.
Now, of course, those are federal funds, but we do have a state surplus. Is there any talk of using some of those state funds to plug these holes, you know, on an emergency basis?
Well, that's a really good and logical question, but the answer is no. For one thing, the state budget that we tend to hear about is in the neighborhood of $6 billion. But when you take in all, when you count all the federal funds that come to the state, the budget amounts to more like $12 billion. So while $46 million is a lot of money, it's not that big of a hit comparatively. But even more than that, I would say politically, I think it would be hard to use surplus funds in Iowa to cover what some would consider to be a sort of a game of chicken in Washington that has resulted in these cuts going into effect.
Okay. I want to check in on education reform, which is, of course, still winding its way through the legislative process. Lawmakers in both chambers have released their plans now, and the Senate bill is actually closer, right, to Governor Branstad's plan than the House bill. Is this surprising, Joyce, given that the governor's own party controls the House?
Well, I should say that both the House and the Senate have retained, at least in spirit, the governor's basic plan, which is to pay teachers more for assuming mentoring roles in the classroom. I should say that the governor's office has been very careful to remain positive in their response to both the House and Senate as they have passed or are in the process of passing the bills. Now, it is true that the House scaled back the minimum salary for teachers and they made the program voluntary, and the Senate followed the governor on those points. But there's an even more significant difference with the Senate and the governor on the program's cost. You've heard us report that the governor recommends giving school districts about $300 per student to implement these higher teacher salaries. Senate Democrats all along have said that wasn't enough, and they're saying they're recommending more like $400 per student. So that's a big difference, and that is not going to be easy to resolve.
And that would be an extra $300 or $400 per student for that particular program, right?
That's right. That's on top of their regular basic state aid.
Joyce, you reported last week that even as lawmakers debate what to do about young people who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children and have lived here almost all their lives, some of these students are already going to Iowa's state universities with in-state tuition. Were you surprised to learn that?
Well, I was surprised only because immigrant advocate groups and churches, they've been naming in-state tuition for these young people as one of their top priorities this year. So it was surprising to find out that many of them are paying in-state tuition. Already, there's a bill in the Senate that would have spelled out a mandate for in-state tuition for both the Regent schools and the community colleges. And as I listened to discussion on that bill last week, there were immigrants there and their advocates, and they're clearly under the assumption that until the legislature acts, these young people will be assessed out-of-state tuition.
But if young people who've already graduated from Iowa high schools are already getting in-state tuition without any questions really being asked in many cases, why the push for legislation?
Well, questions are being asked. I should make that clear. They're being first assessed non-resident tuition, and then they can challenge that. And in many cases, then they're granted in-state tuition. But, you know, if you believe that these young people should be allowed to get in-state tuition, then having that spelled out in Iowa law would be advantageous for them. Many of them still, their parents are undocumented. They have limited documentation themselves. So many of them, you know, they still tread lightly when it comes to having any contact with the government. And even going through the application process at the universities can take courage to bring yourself to the attention of authorities in that way. I should add that the bill in the Senate did not make it through last week's deadline for committee action. And, you know, many people believe that Congress is going to act on immigration reform this year. And I think that may be acting as a drag on any state-sponsored legislation for immigration reform.
Okay, and Joyce, what else do we be looking for this week?
Well, according to their self-imposed deadline, lawmakers now have a month to get bills out of their house of origin and through a committee in the opposite chamber. So we'll be seeing lots of floor debate this week to get the bills passed and over to the opposite chamber to make it through committee over the next month.
Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Sarah.